This is That You May Grow, a podcast done here at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ. My name is Jared Hammond. I am here with my co-host and fellow minister here at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ, Preston McElyea.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be here as always and have this great opportunity to sit down and to talk about the Bible and to discuss other spiritual matters as far as our growth as well.
Absolutely. And part of season two and our plans was to have the opportunity to bring in other people and have some visitors on our show. And we have one with us today, a fellow brother, a fellow classmate from the year that I went through Brown Trail, and a fellow minister in the faith, Caleb Griffith.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. It's good to be here.
We're glad to have you. And, you know, one of the things that we're trying to focus on with this season is trying to get perspective from a variety of people as it pertains to, you know, our own struggles in life and faith and things of that nature, and even the works and things of that nature that you're doing. I know you're doing a lot of things there at Brown Trail. You're staying incredibly busy. How's that going for you?
I'm trying to stay busy, and it's going very well. Main part of my work currently has to do with the STEP program, which is an online program we started there last year around June. And that currently has about 12 students in it, and it's open, free for anyone and just members of the church or people interested in preaching and coming to Brown Trail specifically to be able to take some classes. And so I'm coordinating that. I'm working with the students in that and teaching a weekly class in it. Currently, I've been teaching a survey through the Bible, which has been very fun and enjoyable, although I didn't really realize until after I got into it that I had realized I signed myself up to study the entire Bible in my year after preaching school.
Oh, wow.
And so I've been going back through that, and so that's been definitely beneficial, and I think the students have enjoyed it. Other parts of my work, I travel on behalf of the school. I visit congregations, go to different events like polishing the pulpit or different brotherhood events in order to represent the school, recruit students, and raise awareness of what we're trying to do at Brown Trail. In addition to that, I'm also a student currently with Heritage Christian University, and I am preaching most Sundays.
Very busy, very busy. I think you were telling me the other day you're going to be there at Freed as well.
Yes, so I'm heading to the Freed Hardeman Lectures in just a bit. I guess by the time this releases, that will have already happened.
Yeah, right.
And so I'm going to hopefully enjoy my time there. I've never been there before, but I've heard a lot of good things about it.
Well, before we get too terribly deep into this podcast, we got to ask, what size shoe do you wear, Caleb?
I wear a size 10.
You wear a size 10. Okay, well, they say you can't really get to know a man until you've walked a mile in his shoes. So we all got to slip on our size 10s, and we'll walk a mile in Caleb's shoes and get to know him just a little bit better.
And based on, you know, all that you've got going, we're probably going to wear the size 10s out before this episode is over.
I did buy some new shoes recently.
Good, good.
There you go. We're going to cover a lot of ground, I think. So, you know, even in thinking about, because this is one of those things we really wanted to focus in on this season, is really looking at, like I said earlier, the different perspectives, different age ranges. We want to bring in some guys that are, you know, teens, even up to elders, and get all these different perspectives. And really, you know, one of the things that we were kind of interested in was, you know, you're doing a lesson for us over the topic of, you know, kind of filling your role and being able to know how to do that. What's some good information or good thoughts you could give us on that?
Yeah. So the way I've outlined that lesson is very simple, really. And I have just 3 points, as you do in any scriptural sermon.
Amen.
And not actually, but and those 3 points I simply have are know yourself, grow yourself, and give yourself. And the reason behind that, especially the first one, is really where I spend the most time in the lesson, is that if you want to find your role in the church at any age, then you have to know who you are. And I think that's especially important for younger Christians because they haven't spent as much time in life figuring out who they are. And while someone who's older, who may still be figuring some things out spiritually and finding their role within the church in that way, they might already know more about themselves from having lived a longer life, having more experience. But young people especially are still trying to figure out who they are and what they like, what they enjoy, and what kind of person they're going to be. And so I really start there when it comes to finding a role within the church, because if you don't know who you are, you won't be able to serve in the way that the church needs you to serve. If you don't know what you offer, then the church isn't going to be able to use you in the way that you need to serve. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I think, brings that out pretty clearly, talking about the different parts of the body and how the hand is not the same as the foot is not the same as the eye. And, you know, the parts of the body are different and can't look at each other and say, you know, just because you're a hand, you're not as useful as me, the foot, or so on. And because of that, if we don't know what our function is, if we don't know who we are and what we actually can offer to the body, then we won't necessarily be able to find our role at all to serve in the church. And so that's really where I start.
That's an extremely valid point and place to start. You know, you think about, especially with the younger ones, and, you know, they look up to other people in the church, the older ones, and of course they're maybe modeling somewhat the things that they do after them. And it's absolutely a crucial point or a crucial time to figure out, okay, well, who am I and what can I do to serve more, you know, for each and every one of us individually, but absolutely.
You know, I'm 27, so just a couple years older than you, and there's a little bit of, I guess, a generational difference between my age and your age, and obviously mm-hmm. generational difference between my age and Jared's age. And as I say, obviously, I feel kind of like, well, now,
what are you trying
anyway,
to say, Preston?
Disregard that. But I say all of that to say, it seems like within every generation, there's always a challenge of figuring out who you are. I know wasn't that many years ago I was in college and going through the 4 years at a university, and then I did my 2 years at Brown Trail. But the time at the 4 years at the university seemed like most of all of my peers, and even myself to an extent, we're all trying to figure out who we are, just kind of wandering around, figuring out, you know, what skill set do I have? How can I best utilize that? What can I do to make the biggest difference? And so I think that's a really important place that you're talking about there to really begin to really get to know yourself.
Yeah. There are three questions that I did not come up with, and I don't know if I actually heard them in this form, but they were first asked to me, I think, 5 years ago now by Brother Dan Winkler. Mm-hmm. And I've heard him use them a couple times, and I've gotten these from other places too. It's not just him. This is a pretty common idea. And these three questions are meant to help you figure out who you are and, in a spiritual context, what you offer to the church. And those questions are, first, what am I really good at? What am I really good at? The second question is, what do I really enjoy? And the third question is, what do I really need to do? And those three questions cover your talents, what are you good at, your passions, what do you enjoy, and your responsibilities, what is it that you need to do? And if you were to make a three-way Venn diagram of those questions, and so you draw your three circles, and up here is my talents, then we have my passions, then we have my responsibilities – and I'm going to answer those questions. What are the things I'm really good at? Now, that can be a hard question to answer for some people, especially people who try to be humble and don't like talking about themselves and what they're good at. And sometimes we get this false idea of humility that we have to pretend to be the worst person at everything, or we have to pretend like we're not good at anything at all. And that's not what humility is. Humility is just not using my talents for my own gain or to exalt myself. It's using it to serve God and to serve others. And so I need to answer the question, what am I good at? What are my talents? Then I answer the question of passion. What do I really enjoy? What are things that I have fun doing? What are things that make me happy to do? You know, there are some things that I might be good at that I don't like doing. When I was growing up and I was in high school, I was pretty good at math. And I could get through math questions. I could pretty well ace a math test without really studying for it. I'm good at it. But that doesn't mean I enjoy it. And I'm very glad that I decided to preach so I could avoid math. And I don't have to do math every day.
Do you avoid the book of Numbers?
Usually, yeah, yeah. And so the question of passion. And then the third question is responsibilities of what is it that I need to do? Where am I needed? Where is there value in what I have to offer? And the intersection of those three questions, the middle of the Venn diagram, the thing that I am good at, I enjoy, and I need to do is the most valuable place that I can serve the church. There are other places that I can serve. There are some times where I may have a responsibility and something I need to do for the church that isn't one of my passions or one of my talents. But the most valuable and important place for me to serve is the intersection of those three answers.
And of course, with knowing yourself is going to give you the best means of being able to do that to the best of your ability. You know, I think there's a lot of potential in every generation, maybe untapped potential. And I think part of the problem might be that, you know, people don't truly evaluate themselves, even like you're talking about, to the point that they really know what they could do best, where they could serve best. So absolutely.
So that's the first point, know yourself. And the second thing is grow yourself. Because even if we identify, okay, these are my talents, this is what I'm naturally good at, and here's what I need to do, and here's what I enjoy doing, that doesn't necessarily mean we're at the point of where we're capable of fully serving the church in that way. And especially thinking about young Christians, our youth is a season of life where we need to be focused on growth. Now, anyone needs to grow. It doesn't really matter how old you are, how long you've been a Christian. You know, the Bible commands us to grow, 2 Peter 3:18. That's the title of your podcast, is that you may grow, is we're supposed to be growing from any stage. But young Christians especially should be focused on their personal growth and their spiritual growth if they really want to be able to serve. The talents and abilities we have need to be developed, because you don't go to bed one night as a lukewarm Christian, someone who's like, I don't really care. I enjoy hanging out with friends. I enjoy playing sports and stuff, but church, that's just something we do on the side. And, you know, I'm not really going to develop myself in that way. You don't go to bed one night as a lukewarm Christian and wake up the next morning the most active and involved member of the church. It would be really nice if that happened and suddenly all the Christians who really don't care suddenly started caring. But the truth is we have to grow ourselves spiritually in order to get to that point of service. And I think that's most important for young people.
You know, in our last podcast episode, we had Brother J.J. Hendricks with us, and we talked a little bit about some of the good work he does with different camp sessions and really focusing on that aspect of trying to help develop growth. Because if you just stay right where you are, like you mentioned, and even like we kind of talked about in that previous podcast, is you'll never reach a point where you're willing to step out beyond your comfort zone. You know where you're comfortable, but at some point through growth, you find how to step out beyond that.
Right. And the truth is you can't even grow inside your comfort zone. My comfort zone is made of all the places I've already been, all the beliefs I've already had, all the things I've already done. That's why I'm comfortable doing them. Growth is itself stepping outside of your comfort zone, doing something I haven't done before, becoming more than I am now. And so to really grow, we have to be willing to push ourselves and challenge ourselves and say, you know what, today I'm not going to be the same kind of Christian I was before, wherever I was at, of I'm going to do more for the Lord. I'm going to start doing more for the church. I'm going to be involved in more ways that I may not have been comfortable with before. But growth is vitally important to becoming more involved.
You know, thinking about some of the ones, I'm sure there are those, and possibly that might even listen, who maybe have it in their mind that, you know what, I would like to step out and do a little bit more. I would like to be more active. And maybe it's the case that they're just a little bit reserved. Maybe it's the case that they just haven't taken that first step. You know, even, you know, from your perspective, what is something maybe to do to kind of baby steps, if you will, you know, to get that process started?
Very good question. Two suggestions for that. The first thing is find a mentor. Find someone who's already there and doing the things that maybe you're afraid to do or you're uncomfortable doing, and ask them for help. Ask them to guide you. Ask them to train you how to do it. You know, sometimes, you know, we might be uncomfortable doing something on our own, but if someone's there who's done it before, can walk us through that process and tell us what to do, we might figure out, you know, this actually isn't that hard and I can learn to do this. And so it's really important for young Christians to find a mentor who can help them along their journey of growth and of becoming more involved in the church. And that's what Titus 2 lays out pretty clearly, is that's how the church is supposed to function. The older men are examples for the younger men. The older women are teaching the younger women. Young Christians then should be looking for a mentor who can help them. But on that, it's important to find the right mentor, because there aren't many bigger mistakes you can make in life than having the wrong mentor who's going to lead you the wrong direction.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking is you know, where if you are a teenager, if you are a young adult and you're looking to really grow, you know, where might one look to try to find a good mentor?
The best place to start is with the elders of the church. That's literally their function in the body. That's the meaning of the word elder, is someone who's older and wiser and has the experience. And their role in the body is to lead and to train and to feed the flock and help them grow. Now, unfortunately, not all congregations have elders. And even more unfortunately, not all congregations have good elders. So that can be a really good place to start for most. But what you should look for in a mentor is, first of all, maturity. Someone who has been a Christian for a while and has, you know, not necessarily had an easy time of it. Someone who has struggled, someone who has gone through hard times and knows how to deal with those kinds of things. You should also look for wisdom, someone who is able to communicate very practical advice. I mean, if you find a mentor who has all this knowledge and all this experience but doesn't know how to share it in a way that helps you, and maybe they, you know, just speak in vague terms of, you know, oh, I did this one time. Well, how'd you do it? Well, I just did it. Well, that's not actually helpful. You need someone who can actually communicate in practical terms. Here's how to make good choices. Here's how to grow yourself. Here's how to follow God's word more closely. And I would also say you should look for similarity. Is we talk mentioned those three questions about knowing yourself, is if I know what my talents are, I should look for a mentor who has similar talents, who's doing similar things that I'm interested in, because they're the ones who have already kind of paved the road or gone down the trail and can really help me along.
You know, I think I might already know the answer to this question, but since we're on the topic of mentors, is there any that stand out, you know, to you in your life that have filled that role for you, or maybe even still filling that role?
Well, currently, Kevin Rhodes there at Brown Trail School of Preaching is definitely my biggest mentor in life. Obviously, you know how we went through school there for 2 years and we had him in our head every day telling us what to do and telling us how to think. And so that's a very natural way to find a mentor, is by a school like Brown Trail or finding a different teacher like that. And so I'm privileged to be able to still be there at Brown Trail after graduating and work with him. And he's still one of my biggest mentors. When I think about finding a mentor, it can be really easy to look at the big names in the church and the ones that, you know, it seems like everyone else is drawn to. And I remember growing up, you know, I would be, you know, wanting a mentor, wanting someone. As I wanted to go into preaching, that was one of my talents. I was looking at different, you know, preachers. And it's really easy to be drawn to the big names of, you know, who are the preachers that everyone knows, that everyone likes and listens to. If I want them to be my mentor. The sad reality is most of those guys are way too busy to mentor everyone. And so I think there's a lot of value in learning to look for people who have their head down, who are maybe, you know, not out there, not doing a bunch of things, but are just kind of in a small little corner of the church doing good work for the Lord. Who are the people who behind the scenes are mature Christians serving in the congregation week in, week out, who have been through life as a Christian, who know what it's like to overcome temptation, who know what it's like to deal with really hard trials in life, who have been through it and are still faithful Christians. If we start looking for those people, and almost every congregation has some of them who, you know, aren't out there, you know, getting their name plastered all over the Brotherhood gospel meeting banners and all, but are simply serving the church from week in and week out And those are really good mentors for younger Christians.
You'd mentioned earlier one of the things was looking for those who have been through some of the challenges and everything themselves. And not to say some of those other names may not have been through that, but a lot of times in those smaller areas sometimes that's a more of a challenge in the work there. And you know, I've heard it said before sometimes that those who may be working in a situation and in a place like that, a lot of times they may be some of the best preachers that there are, but they're not concerned with getting the notoriety or anything like that, and they're truly looking to serve and looking for opportunities to help mentor someone in the same way.
Right.
You know, and even thinking about when you're talking about, you know, who you would actually look for a mentor, and one of the things you'd stated is someone who has is very similar to you, right? You have the similar, talents or things of that nature. Is it just the same that you could have a strong mentor that maybe does a few things that you don't do, or they're more talented in that area or have that ability in that area, maybe to get strength from them in that sense?
Yes, that's absolutely true. Is I may look for a mentor who's really good at something I'm not, because they're going to help me improve in that area and make that less of a weakness in my own life. And so looking for similarity is a good practical guide for where to start. Mm-hmm. But it's also good to find people, like you said, who are different and can help you in different ways too. I mentioned two suggestions for growth and getting out of your comfort zone. First is find a mentor. The second is form a group. Again, it can be scary to do something alone, but one of the most powerful experiences as a young Christian is being able to grow and serve alongside my peers, alongside fellow younger Christians who are in the same position I am, and we can do it together. And so on that end, I'd say as a young Christian, you should look for friends who want to learn. If your friend group in the church are, you know, the kids who, you know, are only there sometimes, are the kids who don't pay attention in Bible class and just goof off instead, or are on their phone during the sermon, they're not going to help you grow. And they're not going to help you become the Christian you need to be. We need to build friend groups in the church among younger people in the church that are focused on spiritual things and interested in learning the Bible, studying the Bible together, and serving the church together. We need to look for friends who want to grow spiritually and help each other grow.
You know, even take your inner circle, the ones that you're closest to, the ones your age range. How much do they help you in maintaining your faithfulness? How much do they help you in your strength and your servitude toward the Lord?
Right.
I mean, is that something? I'm asking, you know, how much does that impact you as far as, you know, I can only imagine, say, at your age range or even, say, younger, there's so many people out there and there are so many names that people try to turn to for advice or even for a mentor, but even the ones that they want to hang around, they impact somebody's life incredibly. You know, one of the key things that you're talking about is being surrounded by people who are like-minded Christians. I don't know about you, but I gain strength from those who, you know, are like-minded Christians I surround myself with. It helps me on a daily basis.
Yeah. Definitely having close Christian friends growing up was huge for me. And I wouldn't be where I am now spiritually if I hadn't been in a place where I knew a lot of people my age who were interested in spiritual things and wanted to do spiritual things and serve the church. Because not only are they there with me, they're doing those things with me, but they also challenged me. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, if I'm there and all my friends, you know, we want to study the Bible or we want to serve in this way, and I might have been on a day where I'm like, you know, let me just, you know, chill on my phone or something. Let me do something that kind of makes me happy instead. But everyone I'm with that I'm friends with is like, no, we're going to go serve in this way. Then it's a positive form of peer pressure. It's I'm there and I'm going to do what the group is doing.
You know, when I first came to Brown Trail, we had not been there long. We were just moved in to Rome. And now, granted, I hadn't turned 40 yet at this time, but right, I'm more than double your age. And Caleb had sent me a text, I believe, saying, hey, we're having a singing night over at my parents' house. Would y'all like to come? And it was just a great opportunity for us to kind of get in and meet some of the people and some of that group. And we really had just a wonderful time as me and Jesse Lee and Geraldine came with us as well. And that was kind of my first little bit of time that I got to spend with you there before. I believe that was early on in school. Is that correct?
I was either the first week or maybe even the week before.
Yeah. Yep. But it was a, you know, it was a really good opportunity. And it's one of those moments where, you know, like you say, like-minded brethren and like-minded, you know, young teens and adults getting together to sing praise and even had a devotional. I think there was two devotionals that night. You did one and then your cousin did one also, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was a wonderful opportunity. And it's those things that help us to grow stronger together as well as individually.
Right. Find a mentor, form a group. Those are my two best suggestions for growth. Obviously, there's a strong personal element to it as well of you need to be reading your Bible. You need to be growing in your prayer life. You need to be looking for ways to learn more about God and to be more involved. But it shouldn't have to be hard. Is when we surround ourselves with people who want to help us grow, mentors who have been there, friends who want to encourage us, challenge us, be there with us, it shouldn't be that hard to focus on spiritual things. It's hard when we're steeped in the world, and sometimes we don't always have that choice of the environment we're around day in, day out. But we can choose what we prioritize, and we can choose what we focus on and what we commit to.
So we talked about how it is that, you know, that we must know ourselves, we must grow ourselves, and I believe you'd said that you had a third aspect as well.
Third is give yourself. And when I think about giving yourself, Romans 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And when we talk about finding your role in the church for any age, it all hinges on how much you give yourself. 1 Corinthians 12 makes clear that every part of the body has a role in the body. And whenever we're struggling to find our role in the body, I think I found in my own life that if you just offer yourself up and say, whatever way I need to be used, I'm just going to keep my eyes open and see it and do it, you'll pretty quickly find a way that you can serve. Because there is a place in the body for people, Christians of any age, to serve. I have four suggestions here on how to find opportunities to serve. Sometimes growing up, that would be my biggest struggle is I'm here, I want to serve, I want to do these things, but what do I do? I'm young and maybe I look and, you know, there are all these, you know, older Christians and it's like they're taking care of it. They're doing all these things that they're used to. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to start. I don't know how to serve. Four suggestions for that. First is be present. The simple fact is you can't serve if you're not here. You can't serve if you're not there ready to serve. So that means asking, what is the church already doing? What activities does the church already have going on? What works is already going on at my local congregation that I can be present at and be involved in? Now, I'm young myself. I'm no elder in the church, so I don't know if I can speak for them. But if I were to presume I could for just a moment, I would speak on behalf of elders of the church and say, if young Christians came up and said, we want to be involved in this work, we want to be active, we know, you know, the church is putting this on, how can I help? I feel like that would make an elder's day. I feel like that would make a preacher's day. I feel like that would make any older Christian who's trying to do those things already in the church, it would make their day if people just came up and said, you've already gotten this going on, how can I be involved? How can I help? And so be present. The second suggestion is be practical. And that means asking, what does the church need to be doing? Are there needs which need to be met or which could be met more efficiently if I were to help? We don't have to, you know, come up with some genius new plan as a young Christian for, you know, here's how, you know, here's this new brilliant way that's super complicated to serve. We don't need to develop this really complex plan of service. Sometimes it's just what needs to be done. Now let me go do it. And so be practical. The third, which kind of seems to contradict what I just said, is be creative. Sometimes you can come up with some new brilliant idea of something the church can do. And I think it's okay for young Christians to come up with ideas of what if the church did this to serve our community? What if we started doing this to reach out to the lost? And like going to the elders or going to the preacher, going to the older Christians to say, how can I help? You can go to them with ideas that you have of here's how we can serve. Now, if you're going to be creative, you have to be willing to have your ideas shot down. I sometimes joke there at Brown Trail that part of my job is I have 1,000 ideas a week and one of them is good. And Kevin's job there as director is sifting through my ideas and slapping me every time I have the bad one before we finally find the one that's good. And that sometimes is a more than accurate description of what a week at Brown Trail looks like for me. But I find myself being creative, having these ideas of, oh, it would be really cool if we did this. It would be really cool if we hosted this kind of event. It would be really awesome if, you know, we started doing this to reach out to the lost. And we can have those ideas and be willing to have them shot down because the older Christians, they are the ones who know better and know what resources we actually have and probably think about it in a bit bigger picture. But by having more ideas, young people can be really valuable because you'll have ideas that older Christians don't. They may be used to doing it the way they've always done it, and you may have an idea that could be really effective for a way the church could serve. And so be creative. Ask, what could the church be doing? And then the fourth thing is be cooperative. Ask, what should the church be doing together? And that again goes back to what we've already talked about. You don't have to do it alone. Is if we want to give ourselves, we can involve our friends in that. We can say, you know what, let's all go and go. We can go to an older member's home and sing with them to encourage them. We can go with to a shut-in's house and sit with them, talk with them, learn about them. Young Christians can do so much to encourage the church, to serve the church. We can say, let's get together and go door knocking. You know, young Christians, we don't have to sit around and wait for the preachers and the elders to put together a door-knocking event to say, you know what, we have our friends that we know from school or we know from work or whatever that live over here. Let's go visit them, knock on their door, and ask to talk to them about the church. Young people, if they'll be cooperative, can simply serve, and it really doesn't have to be that hard. On that, I love the example of Barnabas in Acts chapter 11. When the church had just been established in the city of Antioch, the church at Jerusalem hears of the growth that's going on at Antioch. This is a new, thriving church, and the church at Jerusalem, you know, that's great news. And so what do they do? The Bible says in Acts 11, beginning around about verse 22, that they send Barnabas, that church. Now, we're familiar with Barnabas, and we know why he's called that, son of encouragement. When the church at Jerusalem heard there's this young church that's growing and thriving, who did they send them? An encourager. That's what they needed. And Barnabas went there, and the church continued to grow exponentially. But Barnabas didn't just go and serve the church and say, wow, this is great. Look at the good job I'm doing. No, he actually left Antioch then to go all the way to Tarsus to find Saul. And he brought Saul back to Antioch, and the church continued to grow as both of them talked together. And I would say to any young Christian that you can be a Barnabas, is you can be someone who doesn't have to say, oh, here's, I need to do all this for the church. You can just say, I have my friend over here. Let me go grab him and we can go cooperate and serve the church together and give ourselves in that way. And that can be really, really powerful.
You know, one of the things that stood out there in the suggestions is be present. You know, that's for any age range. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the problem we see in the church today is, yes, people are present in a sense that maybe they're there and they're filling a pew, but are they present in the sense that here I am ready to labor, here I am ready to work? And I think that's a big problem that we face in all age ranges today, and something that I think we could do collectively better in the church, striving to make those opportunities available to all ages and give them something to do, right? And kind of mm-hmm. encourage that.
Yeah, you've got to be present if you're ever going to hear the call that Isaiah did. You know, when the Lord says, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Well, if I'm not present, if I don't truly know myself, and like you mentioned, if I've not been working to grow myself, then I'm not going to be able to answer the call like I need to.
Right. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. You can't say that if you're not there. He had to say, right. Here am I. sometimes instead we have more the attitude of Moses in Exodus 3 and 4 saying, no, I'm not good enough. Send someone else, Lord. Right. But we need to be like Isaiah, like you mentioned. Here am I. Send me. The opportunities are there.
Well, we've had, I think you gave us a lot of really good instruction for individuals who may be wanting to do more, who may be sitting there contemplating, okay, I'm ready to start taking those steps. How do I go about it? And I think you've provided a lot of information that'll be very valuable, not only to younger generations, but also to the older. You know, we do have a few other things we'd like to ask as we get ready to wind things down. We're getting close to our time. We have two questions we would like to close with as we get ready to wrap this up. The first one being, what is your favorite book of the Bible?
My favorite book of the Bible is whichever one I'm studying currently. But if I were if I were to just pick one of them, I would say the letter to the Ephesians. And that's not a surprise for most anyone who knows me. And for those who don't know the story, I did accidentally memorize the book of Ephesians in my first quarter of preaching school. And
would you like to go ahead and recite it for us now?
No, I would not. He said we're nearing a time limit.
Okay.
You know, I actually did hear him go through the entire first chapter and was on into chapter 2, if I'm not mistaken, well into chapter 2 in one of our classes there at Brown Trail, so I can vouch for that.
Right. And I love the book of Ephesians for a number of reasons, but it has so much depth in it and hits on some of the things we've already talked about of the roles within the body and being involved in serving the church there in chapter 4, 11 through 16. So that's my favorite book.
Well, I know we have one more question, and Preston has that one for you.
Who is your favorite person in the Bible? Minus Jesus. That's, of course, going to typically be the answer, but we're making you sweat here.
My favorite person in the Bible is Peter. And that goes back to a lesson I was assigned to put together a few years ago on Peter. And it was a study of Peter throughout his time with Jesus from all four gospel accounts. And it was a lesson that ended up being focused on how faith grows. And when I was doing that lesson, I ended up seeing a lot of myself in Peter, of someone who at the start, you know, he's there, he's willing to do it, but he doesn't know everything. And he thinks he knows a whole lot more than he does. And he figures out pretty quickly, you know what, I don't have all this put together. And following that journey of Peter's growth as a character and going through his denial and really, really walking through that event as it's told in all the gospel accounts and really seeing what was going through Peter's mind and what he was thinking and what he was feeling, I related to Peter a lot. And then seeing how he overcame that, how his faith was restored, and he went on to be one of the most influential leaders in the church in the first century. So my favorite person in the Bible is Peter.
That's a good one, definitely a good one that we can learn a lot of lessons from. We have now walked at least our mile in Caleb-sized tents, so we can kick those off now. But we really do appreciate you coming in and joining us on this podcast. I know Brown Trail is very blessed to have you there working with them. And I believe it is, what's the congregation there?
Currently, I'm working part-time with the Clark Road.
Clark Road, that's the one. That's right, with Clark Road. And I guess you're filling in some also at Colleyville?
Yeah, for the current couple months at the time of recording. Right.
Staying plenty busy. Well, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to be here with us on our podcast here at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ with That You May Grow. And that's probably going to wrap us up for this evening. Was there anything else you had, Preston?
Oh, I'm just blessed to be here.
All right. Well, until the next episode, we hope that you continue growing in the Word and continuing to push yourself and striving to serve to the best of your ability. This is That You May Grow.